Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. Don't tell me I live in a rut. Don't tell me that I can't change habits. Don't tell me that I have no flexibility. Been on many mission trips, and the word is usually be flexible so you will not break. Anyway, just messing. But good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hope and pray wherever this finds you, that it does find you well and filled with the Holy Spirit of a living and loving God. It is a beautiful day here in southern Indiana on a Thursday, and it's actually relatively cool, sunny, and but still a little cool. I'm still in shorts and a t-shirt. Will be for the rest of the year, I hope. But I'm also 62 years old now, and I'm also 29 years old. Thank you so much for all the birthday greetings. I've not even had a chance to look at all of them. I usually try to go through all of them between texts and Facebook messages and phone calls and emails. And my gosh, overwhelming. So just amazing. Thank you guys so much. So appreciated. And love you guys. And thank you for all the blessings. Had, of course, presents Sunday, even though it was Mother's Day, but presents Sunday for my born again day, my birthday, and just always appreciate you guys for just remembering and for blessing me. So love you guys. Appreciate you. So we're going to jump in here in just a moment. Before we do, I just want to make sure we are a week away basically from Pentecost. So we are in Acts, a new series we started just a couple of weeks ago, really the 1st of May, looking at the book of Acts. We will actually get through chapter 1 today, believe it or not. So we're flying. Kind of slow the first couple of weeks, but we'll be flying today. But we are going to look at a couple of two or three different kind of unique things, I think, in the book of Acts. I'm not going to cover the ascension as much in the podcast because I'm going to preach that on Sunday, this coming Sunday. I'm going to preach about the ascension because that's it works within our sermon series on the next 50 days, and it just sets up between the ascension and then the getting ready for Pentecost. Because Pentecost is May 24th, I really hope and pray that you are prepared well for Pentecost. You may go to a church where you don't do much for Pentecost. I would lovingly, very gently, lovingly ask your pastor about what plans there might be for Pentecost. It is a big deal, not just at Firmer Chapel. It's a big deal. I know I've said this 1,000 times, but I'll say it one more time because, you know, good teachers repeat things. And ask Jesus. I guarantee you, in all the volumes and volumes of preachings and teachings he had, I guarantee he repeated himself more than once or twice. So just to understand that, you know, the redemptive work to bring us back to salvation, bring us back into fellowship with God, had to be part of the, had to start with the incarnation. That was Christmas. Had to be finished, quote unquote, or the work had to be done on through the crucifixion and then the resurrection, 1-2 punch. And then finally, the third work is now so God dwelt among us, but God left. So how is God among us now? If he doesn't do something else, even more substantial than just God among us, God in us, Pentecost, impartation, imputation, big deal. It's a big deal. The incarnation, the crucifixion, resurrection, and then the impartation, imputation, big, big deal. So I just encourage you to really think about, pray about, what are you doing on Pentecost this year, May 24th? It's a big deal. It should be a big deal. It needs to be a big deal. So, just think through that, pray through that. I know here at Firmers, it's always a big deal. We start our baptism season. So just like a lot of other things have seasons. I say this all the time, deer season, turkey season, all kinds of seasons. We start ours with baptism. We start our baptism season on Pentecost Sunday. So, and that's May 24th. So, we love you. We appreciate you. I'm going to pray and let's get going. Lord, we love you so much. Holy Spirit, we invite you to take this podcast and lead and direct us. I think I know where we're going, but if you want to take a left turn, we'll take that left turn, trusting in you, Holy Spirit, that you'll do the turning. We love you and we ask and pray your blessings upon us as we learn together, glean from your word. And there'll be some mysteries today that won't be answered this morning, this evening, this afternoon, as people are listening. There'll be some mysteries that will stay mysteries. We'll pull some lessons from them, but help us to, one of the lessons is you are a God of mystery and not every question is going to have an answer. So we trust you. We love you. We thank you. We do praise you. And we do ask, Lord, in your mighty and holy name that we would continue to trust in you as you, Holy Spirit, lead us. In Jesus, your mighty and holy name. Amen. Here we go. I'm excited, always excited with the book of Acts, always excited with a book called the Bible. So anyway, here we go. Acts 1, I think we dropped off at Acts 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. I'm going to read the Ascension, just a really quick glance, because again, I'm going to preach it on Sunday. In fact, I'm going to preach this whole passage on Sunday, but I'm going to preach it differently than the podcast for sure. So in verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, one of the things we want to make sure we're clear, I'm going to do sometimes what I like to do, so I don't want to throw anyone off, but I do like to do like some in-person, right on the spot type of research. But I want to just make sure I know I'm right. I'm positive I'm right, but I'm going to look up Acts. I'm going to look up in BibleHub.com, Acts 1:8, and I'm just going to make sure that this word is exactly what I think it is, because I know it is, but I just want to make sure. I've looked it up before. So Acts 1:8, you look it up in BibleHub.com, and I want to make sure, but you will receive power, dunamis, having come the Holy Spirit, hagio, pneumatos. You will be my witnesses. There it is. There it is. Say, there it is. Hoop. There it is. That's some of y'all like it. That's no, don't do that, Pastor Tim, because the lyrics of that song, I don't even know. I don't know. So all I know is, sorry, took a left turn. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. Martos, from which we get the word martyr. Isn't that a different context? Listen, seriously, a witness is, give me a witness. Can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's a witness. That's a testimony. This is a mark. This is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my martyrs. That's a whole different sentence. That is a whole different declaration. You will not be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. You will be my martyrs. Listen. You will be my witnesses. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the reaction. You will be my martyrs. Whoa. That's that reaction. Come on. You know it. Big stuff there. Huge stuff. This is why we have to know the language. We have to know the language. So after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. We'll talk about that Sunday. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Really, the big takeaway, we'll talk about that on Sunday, but the big takeaway is don't be standing around looking, gaping with your mouth when there's work to be done. There's a great scene in Hoosiers. I'll probably say this on Sunday because I usually do. There's a great scene in Hoosiers where the basketball movie about Indiana state champion Milan, 1952, 1954, something like that, where they call a play called the picket fence. And one of the, I think it's Cooter. He's calling the plays, but he says, now boys, don't stand there watching the paint dry. So that means you're supposed to be actually making moves. You're actually supposed to be picking and rolling, not just standing there. And so I always think of that when just don't stand there. We got work to do. We got work to do. All right. Let's pick up verse 12 in earnest here. So verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. You know what that's called? It's called the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus ascended from. I don't know why there's still a debate about where he ascended from. There's actually a debate. I don't know why there's a debate. It says it clearly. Then the disciples, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. So we also know in Zechariah 14, that his feet will come back. His feet will land on the Mount of Olives. And it does say that the way he was taken into heaven will be the same way you'll see him come back. I don't think that's just in the same way. I think that's actually in the same place. I think he's going to be taken from the Mount of Olives and he's going to be placed back on the Mount of Olives when he returns. So that's what I'm almost 100% certain of. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. What room? Same room. Yep. Same room of the washing of the feet, we believe. Same room of the Last Supper. Same room that Jesus materialized. Remember, he did not just walk through the wall or walk through the door. He vaporized in the tomb, leaving the cloths to kind of lay where they were. And then he materialized into the upper room where the disciples were at least a couple of times. And so, which speaks a little bit of clues to our resurrected body. Come on, right? So, and then this is the same room that they're waiting in now. And now it's going to be the same room where what? Pentecost happens here in the next chapter. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew. Interesting. Now, I know we don't like genealogies, and we don't think there's lots to preach from genealogies, but we would be wrong, wouldn't we? And there's a long list of names in the Old Testament that we have to read through really quickly so we don't have to pronounce it well. I get it. But interesting, look at the grammatical marks here. Look at the grammar. Look at the punctuation. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, semicolon. Philip and Thomas, comma, Bartholomew and Matthew, semicolon. Interesting. James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and comma, and Judas, son of James. So James and Simon, comma, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We'll see in just a moment. There's 120, about 120. Interesting, and I didn't know this until I did some research over the last few weeks here. But look at this pairings. Now, again, we don't want to make too much out of this, but at the same time, it is interesting that Peter, John, James, and Andrew are together, and that semicolon signifies a real break. There's a break. Why would there be a break? Why wouldn't it just be a comma? We got Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas. Why wouldn't we have those 11 listed in commas? I think there's something to be said about the punctuation here. And I know Peter and John, for instance, we don't have the time to do this a whole lot. However, we'll do a couple things here. Peter and John, you know, they were like oil and water. One running to the tomb and then stopping, and the other one lumbering to the tomb and going barging right in. We know that Peter and John, probably even like the last chapter of John, John 21, Peter is being restored by Jesus. And what does Peter say? He looks over at the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's written by John himself. And Peter says, "What about him?" And what does Jesus say? "Never mind. You pay attention to you. I'll take care of John." So you know there's acrimony. You know there's angst. You know there was. You just know there was. But and then look at Philip and Thomas. It's Philip and Thomas, comma, Bartholomew and Matthew. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Bartholomew. Maybe we do some study. We might figure something out here. But Philip. Philip was one of the ones that just declared. He was the one, if you look at Scripture, he declares more than once, "We know the way." I mean, this, "We know you. We know you." Peter was strong in his declaration for Jesus. How about Thomas? Thomas is kind of known for doubting. So we got two different people. We got Peter and John. Now, interesting, the first grouping is Peter, John, James, and Andrew. We've added Andrew to now the list of Peter and the Sons of Thunder, right? The Boagenes. We got Philip and Thomas, comma, Bartholomew and Matthew, semicolon, and then we have the other three, soon to be replaced, I am assuming, by Matthias, right? Why? There's a lot of speculation. Believe it or not, there's a lot written here about this. But here's the takeaway. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, this speaks to the ability of the Holy Spirit to help us work together with people who are different than us. Before, we didn't see these pairings. Now, we saw Peter and John, but we saw some angst too. Afterward, I wonder if it's the Holy Spirit who brings about the ability to work with people that we just normally wouldn't say, I want to work with so-and-so. Hey, I want to work with Bart. No, I don't think so. I think this is the Holy Spirit who helps us go over our, just kind of gloss over our differences and then just be able to work well together. That's what I believe. I believe this is actually important. I believe we pay attention to language. We pay attention to context. We pay attention to punctuation. So yes, I believe this is a, points to and speaks to the ability of the Holy Spirit to help us work closer with people that we aren't usually connected with and usually maybe would have a hard time working with. That's what I believe. So, all right. So they're joined, by, they're joined together constantly in prayer. This, like these 10 days now. So there's this ascension on day 40. Now 10 days of constant prayer. And guess what? The world is shook after 10 days of constant prayer. Praise God. In those days, Jesus stood among the believers. And it would be that constantly. They all joined together constantly in prayer. That word constantly, I believe, would be translated in most, in some translations, and it would be more important in the Greek, in one accord. They were all joined together. The word joined, I'm sorry, it's the word joined, not constant, but it's the word joined. They were all joined together. That phrase, joined together, that would be the word for, that would be the, they are together. They are in one accord, in agreement. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. Verse 17, we'll come back to play here. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. Interesting. We'll come back to that. With the, now, the parentheses from 18 to 19 is the background. This is kind of, this is historical and traditional story. But then again, it is in scripture and it's an inerrant word of God. So with a payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language, Alkadama. That is field of blood, Alkadama. So this history, this little tidbit of history speaks of the fact that Judas did try to hang himself. We know that because scripture tells us that earlier in the Gospels, that he did try to hang himself. That's all he said. He went to hang himself. Well, here we get the rest of the story that he fell headlong, his body burst open, all of his intestines spilled out. So just give you some context and then give you a little bit of historical, spiritual understanding, possibly. We got a couple more things to go here, so we'll go quick here. But we know the Valley of Kidron is between Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. We know the Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, is behind, kind of on the backside of Jerusalem. We also know that that was the valley where there was burning trash and a fire that never went out and worms and things like that. That is the valley that is referred to as hell sometimes, the Valley of Gehenna. Well, in that, right in that area is where we believe Judas tried to hang himself. So he would try to hang himself. Apparently the branch did not hold him. That's important. According to Messianic Jewish tradition, the branch could not hold the weight of Judas's sin. So another one, or that's why another one, had to take the weight of our sin. And his tree held him. So the tree could not hold Judas for the horrendousness of his crime. Mainly because Judas was Judas, man. But a tree could hold Jesus taking on all sin because a tree had to hold him. So a tree could not hold Judas, broke. He falls headlong, burst open, intestines everywhere. But it's because the gravity of that sin and because of the sinfulness of that man that the tree could not hold him. But because of the holiness of the man, even though the sin was so much greater because it was the sin of the world, a tree could hold him. Interesting, trees are a part of Judas's story and Jesus' story. Anyway, Messianic Judaism, just kind of giving some thought to it. So there's the history. It says, for said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Before we go to the leadership piece, there's two more pieces here. And these are mysteries. Probably not going to be an answer, but let me just go here. Judas, heaven or hell? I know our first instinct's probably, hell. Interesting. Look at this. Now, here's some proof that maybe he is. The language son of perdition is used in John 17. And in John 17, when that language is used, there is a sense that son of perdition actually can mean, man of perdition, can actually mean son of hell. Here's some research. As we go, typing in son of perdition, I had it called up and apparently it went away. So son of perdition means man doomed to destruction or son of hell. I won't pronounce the Greek. It is used in the New Testament to describe Judas Iscariot, which is John 17:12, which is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, speaking ironically of unity and how we will reflect the love of Christ in our lives as with our unity. And then 2 Corinthians 2:3 in reference to the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness. So that could be some real strong evidence that Jesus or Judas is in hell. Could be real strong evidence. But then I just want to say this, just because Peter, of course, denied Christ. He wept bitterly, right? We never see him repenting. Now, I'm sure he did, but it never says repent. The reason that's important is we actually see Judas repent. Look at Matthew 27:3, and I'm going to read this in the Greek, and then or in the Greek construct, and then we're going to look at the word. Then, having seen Judas, the one having delivered him up, that he was condemned, having regretted it, we'll look at that word, he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. So this is Jesus, this is Judas returning the money, Matthew 27:3-5. The word I just said was regretted it, but I'm going to look at the definition. The definition is, it's metamelomai. To repent, to regret, to change one's mind. Now, it's translated as regret here, but in the King James and New King James, I believe, in other translations, it's translated as repent. And the origin of the word is to repent. In fact, in 6 or 7 occurrences, it is used to repent 3 times. Yeah, 3 times. And the other 3 times, regret. So it's interesting. Judas repented. And we automatically put him in hell. It's just, I'm not saying he isn't. We can't say that. But here's the other kind of the big point, and we'll have a whole different podcast on this at one point. We've got to be really careful making some things a theology. There's some of you out there that suggest that just because you commit suicide, you're in hell. I think you got to be very careful with the theology. I really do. I don't want to give anyone a hall pass to commit suicide. But I also want to make sure that an act like that is not the thing, is not the reason we go to hell. It's about the condition of our heart, what we've done with Jesus, right? So I just think there's a lot of talk. Well, Judas is in hell. He has to be in hell. He's a son of perdition, maybe. But we find Peter not, there's nowhere in scripture that says Peter repented. It never says that. Now, of course he did. But it does say Judas did. Interesting. Well, let's finish with a selection. Of the other apostles, of the other disciple. So Peter says, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time, the Lord Jesus, the whole time that the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. Now, this witness, it can be both a testimony and or a martyr. It can be both because you have to have seen the resurrection and then be willing to die for it. That's what that word means now. So they nominated 2 men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these 2 you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. When they cast lots and the lot fell to Matthias, So he was added to the, then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. There you go. We got Matthias. Question. Now, some people would debate. I'm not going to do that for this limited time. We got about a minute left. Some people would debate that maybe that wasn't the right way to do it. I would say no, because they. I would disagree with them, because they prayed. They sought the Lord. They show us your heart. And boom, let's go. And they picked Matthias. What I will say is this. Revelation 21:14 says this. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. We're talking about the new city, the new Jerusalem. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Whose name? Whose name is one of the 12? Matthias? We don't hear a dang blum thing left of Matthias. This is the only mention of Matthias in all of Scripture. We have a tiny bit of history about it. Judas? Surely not. But who was with him? And interesting, in verse 17 of Acts 1, I told you we'd come back to it. It said what? He was one of our number. That means he was one of us. Or some people would say maybe that name is Paul. I don't know if I buy that one. Whatever the case, it's a mystery. We'll leave mysteries to be mysteries. Let us be sure of what we are sure of. Let us be witnesses of what we know we can be witnesses of. Let's be willing to die for our faith. And hey, let's be willing to live for our faith. All fueled by the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Bless you. Have a good Pentecost.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek, reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.